Good morning, everyone, and welcome again to the Ennis Reserve. It's another beautiful day. Praise the good Lord, the wind hasn't started back up. Julie and I hope that you have a wonderful Sunday morning. Let me say up front that this week's study has been a little bit of a challenge for me. It seems I wanted to go one particular way, but the Lord wanted me to go another. So I finally said, okay, Lord, let's go your way. So here we go. How many of us want to grow up spiritually? I know. You've been a Christian for years and years and years, and you've reached spiritual maturity. Well, the group that we're going to talk about this morning thought the same thing, but the Apostle Paul had something to say to them. So what did he say? Well, that's what we're going to look at today. So go with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to work our way almost all the way through the book of 1 Corinthians. So let's dive in, but first let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the morning. Thank you for the beautiful conditions. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your leadership and your prompting and everything that we do. May we be aware of your prompting and immediately submit and yield to your leadership. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Today I want to begin with a verse that most of us probably get wrong, and I know in the past I have as well. Have you ever been at a discussion about heaven and then someone quotes this verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9? But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Well, it's a great comment. And within the context of heaven, it sounds pretty good. The only trouble is the verse has nothing to do with heaven. Now, let me show you why I think so. Let's look at the verse in context. Verse number 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. This unrevealed truth that no one had ever heard of before is exactly what Paul was teaching. God had revealed these truths to him. Well, how did he know these mysteries? Verse number 10, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The Bible says that the Spirit of God is the only being, the only person who actually knows the deep things of God. And he shows us what God's will is for our lives. Listen, and all these blessings are exclusive to those who are blood-bought and redeemed disciples of Jesus. That's the only ones that have the Spirit of God living within us, and we're the only ones who can see and understand these truths that Paul is teaching. Let's look further in verse number 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that we have been freely given to us by God. There you go. If you are a born-again Christian, you have committed yourself to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit lives within us. We just need to start yielding to his promptings and his teachings in our lives. You see, we can't get this stuff through our eyes, our ears, or even our imagination. These things don't operate on human wisdom or human common sense. Listen, this God-designed mystery can only be revealed by the Holy Spirit of God that lives in all believers. So let me ask, are you a born-again Christian? Are you sure? Are you absolutely sure? If the Lord were to return right now, you would fly. You would be gone. You got to be sure of that, folks. Got to be sure. One of these truths is something that we talked about last week. Remember, I talked about God lives in us? That can only be revealed by the truths in Scripture revealed through the Holy Spirit. Well, if you missed that, then I'd like for you to go back and listen to last week's video. It will be available for you. Let's dig a little bit further. What's some more of these wonderful mysteries that the Holy Spirit had revealed through the Apostle Paul? Well, hang on a minute. If we're going to get to some more of those mysteries, we've got to do something, or at least go through something that the Apostle Paul did in Corinth. He went and did a little bit of house cleaning and some renovation. And the only problem with the renovation is you got to tear out some of the bad stuff and make a mess before you start replacing it with the new, good, and the great. And Paul painted a picture of what was going on in the Corinthian church and why the renovation was needed. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. He says, "But I, brothers," notice that, brothers, he's speaking to Christians, "could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ." They hadn't grown up. They were just babies, though they've been Christians for quite some time. He says, "I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And listen to this, and even now you're not ready." Ouch. The Christians Paul was writing to were just spiritual babies, and they had not grown, and they, as he said, even now were not ready to consume the truths of those spiritual mysteries. So what was the problem? Well, let's look. Verse number 3. "For you are still of the flesh, for while there is jealousy and strife among you, you are not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way." These Christians were very much like Christians today. They were fighting and arguing, and this was causing divisions and splits, and their argument was very much what we see today. Let's look at verse number 4. "For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human?" Can you hear it now? "I follow this denomination, or I'm this denomination, or I'm that," and almost exclusive to each other. "They were also arguing about who baptized them." Well, sound familiar? One denomination doesn't accept another's denomination. And that creates some of the greatest conflicts and divisions. Paul simply said they were acting like humans, or simply carnal and full of themselves. I know that's harsh, but that's what he was saying. Well, the Corinthians were getting all puffed up against each other, as we often see in churches. So Paul goes after their arrogance. Look at verse number 7. "For what gives you the right to make such a judgment? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if anything that you have is from God, why boast as though it was not a gift?" They thought that within themselves they were pretty special. But see, God had given them things. It wasn't theirs. God had given it to them. It wasn't of their strength or their imagination or their talents. God had given the gift. He's the one that deserves the glory, not them. We need to remember that in the church. He continues with a tongue-in-cheek scathing. Verse 8, "Already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. Without us, you have become kings." Verse 10, "We are fools for Christ, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we are disrepute." The church people thought they were so much better than the apostles. Kind of like some people in churches today. I'm reminded of a story by Pastor Jim Cimbala. His father was a pastor, and young Jim was watching one Sunday morning as people would come in, and one lady walked in and her nose was up and she was all dressed in black, and she just looked kind of somber as she walked quietly into church. young Jim Cimbala looks at his dad and says, "What's wrong with her?" His dad says, "Oh, she's spiritual." When young Pastor Jim Cimbala, the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church, says, "I want none of that." And he's leading one of the most exciting churches anywhere in the world today. So spirituality gives God the glory, not the individual. Listen, I believe human arrogance and a mature Christian follower of Jesus cannot occupy the same body. The more proud you get, the more ungodly you become. So now the Apostle Paul does some house cleaning in the church to where they could grow up. There were some problems that developed. First, there was someone living in open immorality in the church, living in an openly immoral lifestyle in the church. And the church thought that they were just so gracious and full of mercy and grace that they just didn't deal with it and let it went on. Listen, Paul judged the immoral person. Then some of them started suing each other. Paul condemned the practice. Then some of the men obviously started messing around with some prostitutes. And Paul says, "Since the Holy Spirit of God lives in you, are you joining the Holy Spirit with a prostitute?" Paul concludes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own." Listen to that. You are not your own. You've been bought with the price of the blood of Jesus. He goes on, verse 20, and says that, "For you have been bought with a price, so because of this, glorify God in your body." Listen, it's a huge responsibility to know that God's Holy Spirit lives in us because we take Him into everything we do. Don't forget that. Then Paul goes on and he establishes biblical marriage between a man and a woman as the gold standard for Christian behavior. Then lastly, Paul challenges the Corinthian Christians about offending their brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, in that day, for the Jew, it was an offense to eat meat offered to an idol. In the eyes of God, it was no problem to eat that meat, but the young Christian Jews saw it as an offense. Paul's response, 1 Corinthians 8, 9, "But take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak." We can remember that in our day. You see, some thought that offending their fellow Christian was not a problem. But Paul concluded in verse number 13, "Therefore, if food makes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother to stumble." The whole point of a spiritual Christian life is self-denial for the benefit of someone else. What personal freedom, listen, let's make it personal. What personal freedom do we need to lay aside to keep from offending a younger Christian brother and sister? You see, that is true Christian spirituality. I know we went through these points that Paul made to the Corinthian church fairly quickly, but if you found yourself challenged by anything that the Apostle Paul said to the church, then let me encourage you to do something. Let me encourage you to run to the cross of Jesus. Let me encourage you to fall at His feet and surrender your past to Him. Maybe even surrender your present to Him. Give it to Him, and His grace and mercy will just enfold us. He'll forgive us. He'll restore us back to what He wants. And then our eyes can be opened. and we can see and understand and experience what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. Folks, for some of us, I think it's time that we have a little bit of a clean out. And if we will go through that renovation process, then we can grow up in our Christian walk. We can start engaging with the exceptional truths of the Bible that God has for us. Let me close with an illustration. I think the Lord has prepared a table for us in this Christian life. And the table is just absolutely full of His greatest blessings for us. We pull up to the table. Unfortunately, some of us just reach over and we pick a little bit and we nibble. And we say, that's enough. Folks, the whole table's for us. Let's dive in. Let's enjoy what God has for us. But it begins with the cross of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your word. Although Paul's teachings can be challenging at times, which very much has been today, all he wanted to do is take those who were listening to him, and we now are reading what he wrote. He's wanting to take us and bring us back to the foot of the cross to where we can just flourish into what God has designed us to be. Father, help us to experience the very best that you have for us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.